called me, like, I don't know, mid last week, asked me to preach this Sunday. And I said, okay. And then I had like the most terrible week that I could have in a while, and just everything went wrong. Just one of those weeks, you know. I'm assuming that some of you have had some of those in the past, plus a lot of work. I'm getting older, so I've had enough of the sun, the heat, and the work. My hand still fits a shovel, but it just doesn't quite work like it used to. I mean, it used to be I could take a shovel and dig all day in the heat, and it didn't bother me. And this, now after a couple of hours, I'm like, my face is all red, and I'm, you know, look like a beet, and it's like I've had enough, you know. It's just, the older I get, the harder it gets to do that, and then the harder it is to recover from that stuff. You know, it's just, anyway, it's just been a lot. But, you know, our body does a lot in a day. I was thinking about that, and I looked it up and researched, what does it actually do in a day? So here's the, for the adult of average weight. Now, granted, yes, you determine what average is, okay? Let's make sure we say this is very subjective, especially for the women. Average is, you're determined average, okay? Some of the men, too. Men are a little more, ladies, like, you got to tell you, the men, I don't know. We're a little more conscious about those things than we let on, I think. Okay, so the heart beats 103,068 times. The blood travels 168 million miles. This is in a day. We breathe 23,040 times. We inhale 438 cubic feet of air. We eat, and again, this is subjective, 3.25 pounds of food. Some of us, that's only one meal. We drink 2.9 quarts of liquid a day. We lose 7/8 of a pound of waste. We speak 4,800 words, some of them we don't even need to speak at all. We move 750 muscles. Our nails grow, okay, let me get this right, 0.00046 of an inch. Our hair grows, for those who still have it, 0.1714 inches per day. And we exercise, and again, this is subjective, exercise 7 million brain cells. Now, again, some of us don't have that many brain cells against the exercise. I'm just kidding. Speaking of myself there with that, not anyone else. But the key component of that is that that's what the body does. And all of those things are working together for the common good of the body. They're all needed. They all take care of one another. And if one part just stops working in the body, I know some people have had knee replacements, and I know when your knee goes out, that's kind of a problem. It's kind of hard to walk when your knee works and some parts of your body decide to not function properly. But what if the heart decided to take a day off? I'm going to take a vacation today. I think I'm just going to stop beating. I'm tired. I don't really feel like doing anything today. I've been beating for the last 55 years, and I'm just tired. I think I deserve a day off, don't you think? What would happen to the rest of the body? Right? Blood would stop flowing, the muscles would stop working, and of course you'd be dead, right? That's one little part. What if the kidney stops doing whatever the kidney does, and the liver stops livering, and the that's filtering stuff. But, I mean, suppose those things stop doing what they do. Then the body would feel it, and it would have an effect on the entire body, wouldn't it? Right? There's no long-ranger parts of the body. I mean, there are some that they, like, the gallbladder and appendix they take out, and some of those things that we could possibly function without. But for the most part, all the bodies of the part are needed for us to survive and get along. And the same thing is true about the body of Christ, is that each member, each part of the body of Christ has a function, and we're designed by God for that very function. In fact, we're gifted by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of the building up for the common good of the body of Christ. Now, when Paul writes this letter to Corinthians, to the church at Corinth, there was a lot of stuff going on. There was divisions over a whole bunch of things. There was divisions, there was disorder, and there was difficulties in different areas. As Paul works his way through this letter, he addresses all those things. And as he comes to chapter 12, he kind of puts it all together and says, listen, guys, all this disorder and stuff going on, You have to understand something. You're part of one another. You are each other. That you are a body of Christ for the purpose of the common good, been placed there for God for the common good, for the edification, for the building up of each other, for the exaltation, for the coming to the aid of, and the consultation of speaking words of counsel and in comfort for one another. Paul uses the word body 18 times in this one section of Scripture. And he uses it to illustrate not only the physical body that we have as an allegory or an illustration of the body of Christ, but he's also talking about the innermost being, not just the physical side of it, but the inside of who we are as believers in Christ and who we are as united as the body of Christ. Right? That the whole person is part of that. And to understand that the church is an organism, not an organization. The body of Christ is an organism. It's not an organization. Although it has organization to it, the body itself is an organism. And at the core of that organism, the very core of that, is this agape love that holds it all together in unity. Because within the body, there is diversity. There is diversity because there's multiple parts and multiple gifts and multiple talents within the body. It says, but the body is not one member, but many. But yet at the same time, we're one. So there's this diversity of different personalities. Just look around. Look at the different faces and styles and heritage and backgrounds. There's a great diversity within this room. However, they are all one. The men and women, the girls, the young men and all, although there's a great diversity in talks and languages and speech and everything else, we're all one body in Christ. There's diversity within unity. Many, but one. And NBC, or North Shore Bible, is a smaller version of the universal body of Christ. So what's true about the universal body of Christ is true about every believer that is here today, and it was here this morning, that we are part of one another. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. We are the body of Christ. That's who we are. And I want to look at some things in this passage of 1 Corinthians, is that one, that we are part of it, of the whole body, that each of us has been placed within this body by God for a specific function. That each member of the body is honorable. There are no distinctions within the body of one greater than the other. And again, that we are all part of this body. So let's go back to our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, they are one, but also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and all made to drink of the one Spirit, of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. First thing I want to deal with is the idea of the what he calls it, that we're all baptized into one body. The identification is the baptizing work by the Holy Spirit. There is no second work of grace, as some people may teach, is that after you receive Christ, there has to be a second thing that takes place as a baptism, and at that point you receive the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit takes place at the moment of salvation, or the baptism by the Holy Spirit is what I want to say. Because at that point, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ and into his body to be identified with Christ. That takes place at the moment of salvation. It doesn't take place later on. It is a moment in time that takes place where our identity is changed from being in Adam and identified with Adam and his sin to being identified with Christ. I'm sure you've probably heard this before, but the word baptized comes from a dye trade, and the word is baptismo. And when they wanted to dye something, they would baptismo it, immerse it into the dye. So if I wanted to take a white cloth and make it green, I would dip the white cloth into the green dye and take it out, and it would then be green. So it's identified with what it is placed in. And in Paul in Romans chapter 6 gives us a great example of this. He says, do you not know that you were crucified with Christ? Do you not know that through your baptism with Christ, you died with him. Don't you know that you died with him? Don't you know that you were raised in newness of life? Don't you know that? That your identity has changed and taken place. So this is the baptizing by the Holy Spirit into and placing each of us in Christ at the moment of salvation. That's what he's talking about here, which means you're in Christ, I'm in Christ, so we're part of each other. See, each of us is united with Christ, so each of us is united with each other. Each of us is part of each other. I remember, and each part of us is important. Each individual part of the body is important. There's no insignificant part. I remember years ago, like talking about digging, but I was down in a ditch again. This was, I don't know, probably 20 years ago. And I picked up this big rock of cement to throw it off to the side, and I didn't realize that the corner of the building footing was right there, and I smashed my thumb. So anyway, this it was in a cast. It was interesting. The doctor put a cast on it and left that part. I said, "Doc, that's the part that's broken." He said, "Well, I don't want you to move it." I said, "Okay, fine. So I want you to try buttoning your shirt without a thumb." Okay? It doesn't work. There's a lot you can't do without a thumb. But it's a little bitty thing. Look at it. It's the smallest one of all of them. But see, I can do this without with the thumb. I can do that. That's easy. Without the thumb, that little bitty part changes the ability of my hand to do most of what it normally does. So each part is important. That we unite it together. This hand is united together, and it takes all five of these digits to do to work as it's supposed to work. Now, granted, if you lose one, you can adapt and get by. But to work as it's supposed to work, they're all needed. See, do we see ourselves as part of a living organism or an organization? Are we members of North Shore Bible Church organization or a vital part of a living organism? That's the key, isn't it? A vital part of a living organism. That's what we are. Each of us has been placed by God in the organization, or I'm sorry, in the organism. That was a slip, wasn't it? In the organism, right? For a function that the Lord has placed us in. Look at chapter 12. Look at verse 11 for me for a minute, and then we're going to jump down to verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills, meaning that the Holy Spirit gifts each one of us. Each one of us has been given a gift by the Holy Spirit for the common good of the body as the Holy Spirit decides to give him out, as God wills. Look at verse 18 of this. It says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desires. Each of us has been placed in the body for a specific purpose and function and has been gifted by the Holy Spirit for that particular purpose and function. Now, when you came in this morning, I'm assuming I came in early, but when we came in, the doors were open, the lights were on, the air conditioning was on, there were people up here practicing. And when you came in, I'm assuming there was somebody there to greet you, to open the door for you, the coffee was made, the snacks were out. You heard the music starting, the praise team in here, so you came in and sat down. See, all those things were done, but it's all people fulfilling a function. I suppose I didn't feel like preaching this morning. Suppose we came in and Clinton, the worship team, was up here doing the music, and when it was done, he just was, okay, where's the guy? That would have been real awkward, wouldn't it? Imagine everybody coming here, sitting here and looking up here and just looking at the wall up here. Suppose I decided my job wasn't that important, that my part of the body was, you can do without it, you don't really need it. So what? What's the big deal? You'll never miss me. Or maybe you will next week, you won't miss me, but today you might have missed me today. But the point is that we all have a role and we're gifted within the body, and if we're not doing our role, that leaves a hole, that leaves a gap. And that also has to deal with the fact that there is a great diversity within the body. That's one of my gifts is the pastor teacher, so I fill in for Jared doing that. But there's a great diversity. As many people as there is in this room, there is giftedness to go around to each one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 through 21 with me for a minute. 14 through 21. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? So is the foot part of the body just because it's not a hand? Of course it is, right? And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? Now, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desires. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. See, we all need each other. We're all dependent upon each other, and neither one of us are better or worse or can do without the other ones. We are dependent upon each other. Here's an interesting thing here, though. See, do you see yourself as part of a living organism? As you see yourself as part of the living organism of the body of Christ of North Shore Bible Church, you are, whether you recognize it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you're functioning as a part of that or not, you're still a part of it. It'd be kind of like if you were my hand, my right hand, chose not to function. Well, then I would just have to go around my right hand just hanging there. You know, just kind of just hang, because it didn't want to do what it was supposed to be doing. It didn't matter if it didn't like it. It's still part of me. So we're still part of one another, even if we choose not to function that way. See, if we fail to fulfill our function within the whole body kind of knows about it. It affects the entirety. Whether we realize it or not, it affects the entire body. I remember my dad had his big toe amputated. He was in an accident. And by the way, this is my dad's tie. You have to share that. My dad passed away about a year and a half or so ago. But anyway, so he was in an accident and he had his big toe amputated. And he said he could still feel it. It wasn't there, but he could still feel his big toe. So, see, even if we're not functioning as part of the body, the rest of the body still feels it. It still has an effect. The unity with diversity. So there has to be that working together. Are you part of the living organism? If you were the legs of North Shore Bible Church, would we need a wheelchair? I know, look, there's little things that we can do that aren't important. Nobody notices, and that's not true. In fact, the next section we're going to look at is the fact that even the parts that seem to be less important, God gives more abundant honor to those. Again, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 22 to 25. Paul goes to this. He says, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members, most members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our lesser presentable members become more presentable, much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to those members who lack, so that there would be no division in the body, and that all the members would have the same care for one another. We often think that the important members of the body of Christ, the important people, are the guys up here doing the upfront talking, the elders, the deacons, the leadership people, and those are important. But according to this passage, they're not the most important. They're not the ones with the most honor that should be given to them. It's the behind-the-scenes things and people who are working behind the scenes who aren't really getting any credit, if you will, for what they do. It's all the upfront people, the very most visible, the most vocal, the most that we glorify the most. And the reality is, according to the Lord, it's the other way around. The pastor teacher does his function. He fulfills his function. The pastor teacher is to equip the saints for the work of service. Well, the pastor teacher's function is to equip you for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. Pastor teacher fulfills that function. Yours is to do the work of the service of the building up of the body of Christ. Again, we talked about it earlier, but, you know, who glorifies their kidneys? Yeah. How are you doing today? Nice to see you. How's your liver? Right? But those things are important, right? My kidney, my spleen, my liver, my heart. If those things stop functioning, my liver doesn't do what it's supposed to do, stops filtering the stuff it's supposed to filter, my kidneys stop working, what happens to my body? It begins to deteriorate and it breaks down. So those less seemingly parts, those parts that aren't very important as far as outside present-wise, they're kind of in the background working that you never see and never know about them. But those things are very important to keep the body functioning. And that's what Paul's telling us. He says, look, it's not necessarily all the upfront stuff that's important, although they are. Behind the scenes stuff is really important because that's what keeps the body going. Those are the things that keep the body going. The heart that keeps the blood flowing through the vessels, that's important. The mouth that does all the talking may not be the most important one. Then Paul tells us that the reason why we're not having a distinction between the body parts is that there'd be no division in the body. I don't want any divisions. He says, look, earlier on in this letter as he's writing, he said, look, if there's anything to boast about Christ. If there's anything to brag about Christ. So who saved us? The Lord did. Who gifted us? The Lord did. Who called us to North Shore Bible Church? Understand, the Lord did. So who can we boast about? The Lord. Who is there to brag about? Christ. That's where the boasting comes from. That's where we can boast and we can brag about all that the Lord has done. So the Lord, who said, look, everybody's at an even plane. The upfront pastor guy doesn't have any special privileges or rights that any other believer doesn't have, and any other part of the body doesn't have. It's not any better. It's not any worse. We're equal members of one another. In fact, we are part of one another. If we understand this idea of the identification and baptism in Christ, is I'm in Christ. I think I said this earlier. You're in Christ. We're in Christ. I am you. You are me. We are one another. We are the one another's because we're connected to each other. That is why in the one another's in the New Testament, 19 of the times that word is used, the idea of the one another is related to love and to loving one another. Love one another. Now, let me say this at this point here so we can. The body of Christ is a living organism. It is not this building that we are in. The building we are in is not North Shore Bible Church. The building we are in is a place where the living organism of North Shore Bible Church comes together to worship, to be edified, and for fellowship and for education, all those things. But that's where the organism comes together in this building. If we limit the amount of ministering we can do to this physical location, we limit the amount of ministering we can do to the one another's. Because the body of Christ is limitless. And this local body is located wherever the body is located. So my point is this. Each of us has been gifted and called by the Lord into this body for a specific function. Where that function plays itself out at, you need to find that out. And it may not be necessarily in areas that need to be in the structure of this, but it may be in the one another's. Of encouraging one another, of comforting one another, of caring for one another's, all those aspects of the one another's that need to play themselves out in the body of Christ as we grow into each other. That's why the last part of this here is that we have to remember that we are part of one another. We are part of the whole, we're not separate. Look at chapter 12, again, verses 26 and 27. Paul says this. He says, if any one member suffers, all the members suffered with him. If any one member is honored, all the members rejoice with him. Now, you are Christ's body and individual members of it. We are so composed of being part of one another. What he's saying is this. If I hit my big toe, somebody should feel it. In the analogy he's using as the body, if I hit my big toe, somebody else who's the brain should recognize it, right? Because we're all part of one another. My pain is your pain. My joy is your joy, right? Because we're united. We're one in this body of Christ. We're individual parts of each other, not individual parts, individual parts of each other. Unity with diversity. On the same token, the sin of individual members has an effect on the whole as well. The sin of individual members has an effect on the whole as well. That's why we have to hold each other accountable. Part of the loving of one another. Earlier on in this letter, as Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and they're dealing with sin that's going on in the church, Paul says this, he says, your boasting is not good. So do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? All it takes is a little leaven to mess up the whole body. What this means is, excuse me. Now, I'm not saying, because I don't know what's going on, but I'm saying this according to the way I'm going here. Is grumbling and complaining and strife and jealousy within the body cause disunity, causes disorder, causes dysfunction, and that's not a working member of the body? Earlier on again in this letter, as Paul's writing to this church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he says this, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, all you not fleshly, and all you not walking like mere men. See, we can't be a working part of the body and walk like mere men. It won't work. We can't be a working part of the body of Christ and walk like mere men. We united together with one another. So how do we get the body to function? How do we then move, if that's the case, from walking as mere men to walking in the Spirit? Change of focus. Change of heart. Not seeking to be served. Not what is the church doing for me, but what can I do to serve the body of Christ? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to leave out of Corinthians right now. We're going to go to a couple of different passages. Philippians chapter 2. Change of focus off of self and onto Christ and others. Verses 3 through 8, but we'll see. Verse 3, he says this. It's obvious it's a command. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Another command. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Another command. Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taken on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now, that's not natural for us to consider others more important than ourselves. I don't know about you, but that's probably not my first thing to think of, is I'm going to consider you as more important than me. Not walking as a mere man anyway. See, not walking in the flesh, that's not. My natural is not to think that you're better than me or more important than me or to consider others. Paul tells us earlier on, he says, look, in this same book of Corinthians, said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So be a Christ imitator, he's saying. Be a Christ imitator. Well, it's interesting because that's what a follower of Christ is. To follow Christ is to imitate Christ. It's to be so much like Christ that you act like him. Now, that's the goal, is to conform us to the image of Christ, not outwardly, but inwardly. That our inward character be conformed or transformed to that of Christ. Okay? Now turn with me to John chapter 13. When you turn there, hold your spot there because we're going to turn out of there, but we're going to go back in a second. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. How do we fulfill the love for one another in the body of Christ? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Even as I have loved you. How did Christ love us? How did Christ demonstrate his love for us? Again, hold your spot in John because we're going to come back here. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Hold your spot in John. We can actually go back to chapter 12, but it's close enough. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Verse 16, he says this. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's good and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how can the love of God abide in him? Verse 18 is one of my favorite verses, by the way. Little children, let us not love with word and with tongue, but in deed and truth. He says, don't let your love be with lip service. Lip service is cheap. Don't let your love be with lip service. So how does Jesus love us? He laid down his life for us. Let our love be with deed and truth. Okay, back to John, actually John 12, 24. So I was thinking about that Christ demonstrated his love for us by giving his life for us. I'm thinking that death brings change, that death brings life. What? That's right, death brings life. In order to fulfill the one another's and work as a working part of the body of Christ, death needs to take place so there can be life. Look at verse 24 of John chapter 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Verse 25, he who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. See, unless we're willing to fall into Christ and die to self, we won't bear fruit. But if we do die, then we bear much fruit. In a sense, Christ's likeness will take place. In Matthew, Jesus said it this way, to his imitators, to the followers of Christ, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must do what? Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life, he's going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. What's it going to profit you if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? See, are we willing to die to self? To love one another as Christ loved us, to lose ourselves for the sake of others. So death brings life, but death also brings change. Death brings change. We're told in Romans to offer ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice to God, which is our spiritual service of worship, but not be conformed, but be transformed in the renewing of our minds, so we may prove the will of God as that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. As the process of transformation takes place, removed from reflecting Adam, walking as mere man, to reflecting Christ, walking in the Spirit. And that's how we can live out to one another's. That's how we become a vital part of the body of Christ, of a living organism, because over here in Adam, we have organization. In an organization, we have rules and laws, and which brings about what? Strife and jealousy and anger. But when we understand that we're part of a living organism, that each of us is vitally connected to each other and that we need each other, then the whole mindset of things changes. We start serving for the common good of the body, not for ourselves. Like I said, I had a hard week. It wasn't one of my better weeks. The heat, the sun, the work, I'm getting too old for this kind of stuff. Right? The age is having a negative effect on my body. But here's the thing. That's not the way it should be with the body of Christ. The older the body of Christ is, the stronger it should get. The older we get as a body, the stronger we get. Because the more united we should get, the more love we should have for one another, the more encouragement there should be going on, the older we get, the more we get. As the bodies, as the individual members of the body grow up in Christ, mature in Christ's likeness, the common good, the looking out for one another, the exhortation, the all of those things should take place to grow us in Christ's likeness, to be conformed to the image of Christ. So the older we get, we should get stronger, like pumping iron, right? Because we are the ecclesia. See, we are the body of Christ. In a sense, we have a responsibility to live out on one another's, to use our spiritual gifts in serving one another and to love each other with the agape love. Not a selfish love, but an unconditional, doing nothing from selfishness, empty conceit. So are you a working part of the body of Christ? A working part of North Shore Bible Church? And it's not limited to these walls. It's limited to the body. Let's pray.